Why do people reject the law of God? Why do even most Christians believe that God's laws have been, as they say, done away with? That is, eliminated because of what Jesus Christ did. The argument goes something like this. With the Holy Spirit, people know what they should and shouldn't do, and a reminder is not necessary. Well, that reminder that they're talking about, it happens to be God's immutable, unchangeable laws. Now, as I began to prepare for this sermonette, I went online and I just thought, well, I'll go to Google and I'll find out what a few people are saying, or do a little research here about God's laws, whether they still are in effect. And as it would happen, guess who the very first contact was that came up? It was a commentary entitled, "Should Christians Keep the Law of Moses? What About the Ten Commandments?" And it was from Grace Communion International. And some of you recognize that as the group that now exists who got control of the Worldwide Church of God. I'd like to read a couple of paragraphs on what they have to say in justifying their stand and making their answer to the question about whether Christians should keep the law of Moses, including the Ten Commandments. The commands that God gave them are instructive, and they have kind of highlighted some words here, that they are instructive but not necessarily imperative for us. They are informative but not normative, that is, in common use. They are descriptive for ancient Israel, but not prescriptive for Christians. If we want to find out what laws still apply to Christians today, we must rely on the New Testament. And the New Testament tells us that one commandment, the Sabbath, is no longer in force. We cannot preach the Ten Commandments for Christians today because there is an important exception right in the middle of the ten, and it is confusing to say ten when there are only nine meant. Moreover, Christians have a better standard of behavior in the New Testament, a bigger body of literature with better balance. We have the teachings of Jesus and the apostles. We should point people to Christ, not to Moses, for instruction on how to live like a Christian. It's hard to restrain myself here, but this is what is actually so typical of the Christianity of today when it comes to understanding the full sweep of God's Word, the entire Word of God that Jesus Christ absolutely lived by. Well, you know, this is worthy of a lot of commentary, but let me keep it brief for the purposes of this sermonette, because it gets down to this bottom line that people do reject God's law and use all kinds of justifications. But the Word of God distinguishes between those who forsake the law of God and those who actually love God's laws. Let's begin in Psalm 1. Verses 1 through 6, the entire psalm here. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1, blessed, and I'm making the point as I go through this psalm again, is that God is making a distinction between those who forsake His law and those who keep it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, I just read you some counsel of the ungodly. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its seasons, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. Now, notice this contrast. The godly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly shall perish. There are other scriptures, and I want to give you just a sense from both the Old and the New Testament here. Psalm 19, verse 7 says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." What, just the soul of those in the Old Testament, the lives of those who lived in that time? Hardly. "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise the simple." Then if we were to jump over to James 1, verse 22, just a little bit of flavor from the New Testament here. In James 1 and verse 22, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty," not bondage, not some old, quote, on Old Testament law, but the perfect law of liberty, and that includes the law of the Sabbath, "and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Well, there are a multitude of scriptures that back this up, but just be aware now, as I'm contrasting what I read from Grace Communion International on their justifications for dismissing the law of Moses, the law that God gave to Israel in times past. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Let's note together a couple of powerful statements in the Word of God that seems to reinforce the understanding of keeping God's perfect and unending laws here. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His." And, you know, I read that in chapter 1 of Psalm in verse 6 when I said, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous." It continues in the New Testament, "The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." What is iniquity by the standard of some of modern Christianity? How can they justify their stand when scriptures like this come to the fore? Iniquity is lawlessness. It's disobedience. It's everything against God and what He defines as sin. 1 John 3, 4, I think enlightens us just a little bit more. In 1 John 3 and verse 4, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." But since we're there in 1 John 3, let me read with you verse 3, instead of not just verse 4. We'll pick up the context that surrounds verse 4. It says, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Talking about and drawing a comparison with what we will be like in the future, that we're going to be like Jesus Christ. Well, the way that he was pure was that he never sinned. He always obeyed God's perfect commandments. It continues in verse 4, and I'm going to read this time through verse 5. "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he who was manifested to take away our sins," or that Jesus was, he was manifested to take away our sins, "and in him there is no sin." So it's pretty hard to separate obedience to the laws of God from the standard of the Ten Commandments and all of God's laws. Jesus Christ testified of himself that he came to obey God. And of all of the scriptures in the New Testament, the one that is most flagrantly violated and explained away with rationalization that makes no sense at all is found in Matthew 5, verses 17 through 20. how the article that I got from Google could stand in light of this very plain, straightforward statement. But if Christ says to do something, characteristically, those who are not being led by God's Spirit are going to do just the opposite. Matthew 5, beginning in verse 17, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets." Okay, I'm going to think that, well, that's why you came. "I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." He alone fulfilled the perfect law of God. He was without sin. That's what it means to fulfill the law of God, to obey it completely. "For assuredly," in verse 18 now, "for assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and then teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." I will again ask, how can these words be read, and how can modern Christianity dismiss them away? They talk about grace and salvation being a gift, and certainly all of those things are extant, but they don't know how to really understand because they don't obey. Understanding comes with a willingness to be obedient to God, and without that, the vine just shrivels up, no fruit is produced, and it dies. And as the scripture says by analogy, it's burned. It's the only use it has is dried up vines. Hebrews 10, verses 28 through 29. Hebrews 10 and verse 28 is an interesting, to me, a really interesting scripture from the standpoint of what it reveals for us. It says in verse 28, "Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses." Now, you remember the story, one of many in the Old Testament, when Moses was rejected, Moses and Aaron in this case, and it's in Numbers 16. I'm not going there, but I'm just going to refer to that story when Korah's rebellion set in and all that happened. But the interesting understanding that comes out of that chapter is the fact that in rejecting Moses, they were rejecting God. We cannot reject Moses today. Because if we do, we are rejecting God. And I think people don't understand or don't consider fully the consequences of their actions when they throw Moses and the Ten Commandments out the window or anything else that Moses did, not properly understanding what Jesus Christ accomplished in his tremendous sacrifice to lead us to salvation. All right, let me begin again. "Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace?" One leads to the other. And what about you, brethren? If you were asked, could you mount a defense for the hope that lies within you when it comes to keeping the law of God? And by your actions, can you show that you love God's rule in your life, that you do not hate His commandments, that they're not a burden to you, but rather freedom? It's a law of liberty. Hebrews 10, since we're still there, I'd like to read a little bit further and make this more applicable to us. in light of having a right understanding of God's laws. Hebrews 10, verses 35 through 39. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which is and has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, and you have to really understand what that will is, and it starts, brethren, by becoming obedient to God's way of life, what he has revealed. You know, even of Satan it said that he was perfect in the day that he was created until iniquity, lawlessness was found in him. That goes back perhaps before the creation of the universe, but way before the creation of mankind. Lawlessness has arisen from a history way beyond man. He didn't do the will of God. He changed, and that's the same kind of rebellious attitude that Satan is foisting off, deceiving the world at this time. Continuing in verse 36, it says that you may receive the promise by doing these things. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry, for the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to destruction, perdition, it says here in the New King James Version, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Well, one of the great controversies that has arisen between the true Church of God and those who just assign to themselves the name Christian has been centered on keeping the commandments of God, of obeying God, and understanding that the entire Word of God is applicable to our life, and knowing, coming to know how to apply those things in our lives. Let us, we who have been called as God's elect, be God's elect, watching and praying that we may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. We know that, as Matthew 24 points out, lawlessness is going to be extant. It's going to abound. Lawlessness, not just against man's laws, but that certainly included, but against the very laws, the statutes of God. And this world is going to be judged by them. Let's do that. We need to be able to stand before the Son of Man. And when we do, I hope we can all say and be confident in saying, we are those who do love your law.